All right, real quick, I just put up a poll. This dovetails off of a conversation Seth and I were having earlier. I framed it this way, Seth. I'm curious who you think is going to win this poll. Nobody's voted yet. I put it up 18 seconds ago. Pender poll. Pretend the Marconi Award for Station of the Year will be decided by which of the five Marconi station finalists has an on-air talent run the fastest mile. Who should represent Sports Radio 610? Seth Payne, Reggie Atatula, Clint Sterner, or Sean Bajani? I picked one from each show.
Okay. Right? I think that...
You got the first vote. One vote in, they voted for Seth Payne. Yeah.
This will be tricky because I think there's probably people who listen to the station who they might not know Bajani as well just because they don't listen at night.
Yeah.
And if they're not older, they know they don't remember Bajani from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I feel far and away Bajani would be the guy.
Yeah.
But I think Reginald, by virtue of his, he's just kind of, he's got a svelte physique.
Yeah.
I think Bajani.
I think he wins the poll.
Bajani will win the poll.
I mean, I think Bajani would be the choice, but you think he'll...
I think he'll be the choice, but also I think because also people are reminded that when I brought up the tale of the tape when Bajani thought he was going to be able to beat me in a boxing match,
right?
People realize like, okay, this is... Unless Bajani's actually a former Golden Gloves winner or something, probably doesn't have much of a chance versus old Sethers. But likewise, Bajani would dust my ass in a mile. I feel confident in that.
All right, let's get to the petty cast here. Text in your petties, 713-572-4610, if you've got anything you're feeling petty about. Let's start here. We previewed this one yesterday. This is Jerry Jones doing an interview with Stephen A. Smith, making one of the strangest analogies I've ever heard, but then at the very end, petty once again towards David Mulligetta.
In the spirit of not doing the old mother-dad deal. How many times have you seen the little rascal so clever go in there and mama told him, uh-oh, you're not going to get it. And goes in to daddy who only sees him after 5 p.m, wants to love him, and says, you can have it, son. You can have that before dinner. And he goes back in and says, mama, daddy said I could have it. That's the old mom, dad, been around since the beginning of time. I'm not going to go for that here. That's what's happening.
You're not going for it.
I'm not going for it. No. But we've had a very, very strong negotiation. Now, by the way, frankly, it wouldn't have made any difference what the negotiation was. Guess who has to be comfortable for this to work?
Micah.
And who else?
You.
Hello. There's not room for a third. There's not room for a third. This will be a good one.
It's not. I mean, it will be good for by his standards because he wants as much publicity as possible. Yeah. It's an idiotic analogy there because he's painting Mike out as the child, which is how he's been treating him in a lot of this, and that he's the dad let's say Jerry's the mom and Mulligetta's the dad. And because that's what it is. Usually it's the mom that's saying no. It's the dad that's... At least in our family, it's a dad who caves on stuff. Ah, it's a popularity contest. Give the kid what he wants.
Yeah.
I got crap to do. So this is the whole problem is that like Jerry Jones is openly and brazenly flouting the rules of the collective bargaining agreement. If a player has an agent, you're not allowed to cut the agent out of the process. So every time he gets up and says, well, Micah and I had a deal. And then Micah says, no, hold on a second. No, I've got an agent. You got to talk to the agent. And Jerry's just flat out saying, nope, you're not. It's like saying that somebody's been arrested, can't talk to their attorney. Like, there's very specific rules that the guy's allowed to have an attorney. Likewise in the NFL. Very specific rules that the player's agent is there for a reason and that you need to go through him if that's who the player is directing you to. And I just, this is where I feel like he's also brazenly, it's not Mulligetta that he's flipping the bird to. He's flipping the bird at the NFLPA.
No doubt.
Because this is weak right now.
Yep.
I mean, the fact that he just will openly say, nope, I'm not going to follow the rules of the collective bargaining agreement. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Yeah, it's nope. Agent doesn't matter at all. Agent doesn't count. And then the other part of it too, that's just false is like, no, anybody involved. Now the agent works for the player. So at any point the player can say, no, Mulligetta, you're wrong. Do this or you're fired. It's Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones are the two guys who genuinely have the ability to say no.
Yep.
Like it's like, and he knows that,
yeah.
But he's playing the big man. He's thumping his chest. And the hilarious thing is that he always caves at the end anyway.
Yeah.
So he's going to end up giving a boatload of money to Micah Parsons. He's getting a good, he's making a good show out of it.
Clock's ticking because they play on Thursday night. They play in the opener against the Eagles. So we'll see what happens there. So Jerry, petty towards Mulugeta, and I think the world at large, petty towards Jerry, like just flouting the rules of negotiation. All right, this was on our sister station, this next cut, WFAN. Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio is the name of their show on WFAN. They do mornings up there. Boomer Esiason, of course, a Cincinnati Bengal great. He's in their Ring of Honor. They're doing their Ring of Honor induction this season, sometime midway through the season. They play the Jets. Whatever game they play the Jets, that's when they're doing their Ring of Honor induction. And they like to bring all the current Ring of Honor people back for that to attend it. As it turns out, much to Boomer's chagrin, they make you pay for your own hotel room. This is Boomer reading the correspondence from the Bengals PR staff to him.
If you are traveling in for the weekend from out of town, we have secured a block of rooms at the Resonance Cincinnati Downtown Hotel.
Hold on.
What? Renaissance.
A block of rooms. Usually when people say a block of rooms, it's like a wedding thing and you have to go on there and say, I'm part of this party.
Yeah, but this is why they sent it. So the Renaissance Cincinnati Downtown Hotel at a preferred discounted rate.
Hold on.
So I can book my group rate for the Ring of Honor weekend. Rooms are limited, so please book directly for early and the best rate. We'll look forward to hosting you in the jungle for an unforgettable weekend. Don't hesitate to reach out to me or another guy on the staff with any questions. Thank you and Houday.
Houday?
Houday.
Who they think they are making you pay for your own hotel room? That's what I would say.
You think I'm an elitist if I say no to that?
I don't. Boomer, I don't think you're an elitist. Clearly, if they were to pay for his hotel room, it seems like, Seth, he would show up. Like, that seems to be the tipping point for Boomer Esiason. Is I got to pay my own travel expenses here.
I don't know. For him, I think it's more that he probably feels like he's sticking up for a lot of the other guys who aren't in it. Like, Boomer's in a pretty good position financially.
True.
You know, like, he didn't play back when the money was so huge, but he's got a drive time job in New York. So Boomer's doing all right. He can afford it.
I think
it's more that he's thinking about all these other guys that all have to, you know, pay for their own dime to come back and do this.
Maybe it is the petty cast though, so I choose to believe he's being petty in all this.
I think he's being petty towards, I think this might be the last straw to where he's just sick of dealing with the Bengals BS all these years.
The Bengals gotta be one of those teams if you get drafted by him, like, okay, I'm getting my shot in the NFL. I'm talking more like the highly drafted guys. I think once you get to day three, guys are just happy to be on a team.
Yeah.
But watching the Trey Hendrickson stuff and all the stories that come out about the Bengals, like, they just ratchet organization, man. All right, let's get to this one because this is one we've not played yet. Back when the when the lawsuits were coming out within Fox about one of the higher-ups there, and as part of the lawsuit, this wasn't part of the issue in the lawsuit, but it was an anecdote that was included in the lawsuit that became public, was that reportedly and allegedly Joy Taylor, a former host at FS1, had an inappropriate relationship, we'll say, with one of the higher-ups there. Again, it's alleged in a lawsuit, so we want to point that out. But Jason Whitlock, who used to be with Fox back in the day, told an anecdote, not a big Joy Taylor fan, told an anecdote about when he was at Fox, they tried to pair him up with Joy Taylor, and this is how it went.
At this time, this is 10 years ago, Joy Taylor's probably 25, 26 years old. You're talking about, I mean, I got a lot of discipline, but 25-year-old with them big cans and that peanut butter skin who has nothing to say, at some point I'm going to lose respect. And I'm like, well, the only thing she's got to offer is them big cans and that peanut butter skin. And so if I got to put up with this, I might as well enjoy them big cans. And so I said, no. I don't want to put myself in that position.
Okay, so he's talking like, I wouldn't be able to help myself, as if Joy Taylor would be way into Jason Whitlock.
I know that's the...
I mean, I'm not George Clooney or anything like that, but like...
It's pretty obvious we would both succumb to temptation.
Yeah, okay.
And she would be so...
So Joy Taylor, who is an independent right now, she's not with anybody. She's not with Fox anymore. She's working on whatever the next chapter is going to be.
I didn't know. So at first, the peanut butter skin comment caught me because when I first saw the headline, I'm like, wait, is that an insult or is that a compliment? And then also, okay, I don't know if this, I don't, whether it's actual, like the tone of the skin or whatever. I don't want to delve into any kind of that. But I think it's the smoothness of the skin.
I guess.
That annoys me because that tells me that Jason Whitlock is a creamy peanut butter guy. And like, because obviously crunchy peanut butter would be an insult.
Oh, she'd have all kinds of blemishes on her face. Skin. Yeah.
I go to the grocery store and I'm consistently disgusted that there are, I would say about 5-1, the ratio of smooth peanut butter to crunchy peanut butter. Sometimes I can't even find a good crunchy peanut butter.
You know, I'm a crunchy
guy. What's wrong with people?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with people that they prefer creamy to smooth?
Okay, let's get to Joy Taylor here. Joy Taylor.
I'm being petty here, Sean.
I know you are. I can tell. I love crunchy. You know that. I bought a big jar of crunchy when you and I were in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Here's Joy Taylor on with Cam Newton on his podcast. And Cam Newton asked about Jason Whitlock.
Every time someone brings up Jason Whitlock, I can't believe he's still with us. I don't think anything works harder than his cholesterol, if I'm being honest.
Mm. When he said that rack.
He said cans.
Okay, so before you go on, I've never watched this, okay? I'm only aware of this from adjacent conversation. I did not watch a single second of this. I couldn't give a f*** less. And I have not consumed any of it.
Well, I'm going to give you the...
He said something about peanut butter, right?
Yeah, that peanut butter...
What a
butter,
shock. Food.
Yeah. Peanut butter skin.
Okay.
And when I was working with her...
Yeah.
We would always see her rack, and I wanted to stay away from her because I knew what I would have done.
Well, I mean, he's so desirable.
Yeah. But we love Jason.
No, we do. I do not. No, we don't. Who loves Jason? Does God love Jason?
Yeah, I do.
I do not. I do not love Jason.
Okay. So two, by my count, two fat jokes, cholesterol and, big shock food. Do you believe that she's never watched that clip that we played?
I think she probably, honestly, women in sports media, I think have to get really good at ignoring a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They get a lot of crap that's just. It's ridiculous. So, and I'm not sitting here trying to be, a simp or whatever it is. It just flat out is. Look at the comments. A woman can't post anything on social media about sports without 90% of the comments being like, you don't know, you're just a dame. So, I do believe that she might not have heard that comment. She probably is, Though she did have those two at the ready. Who was the co-host there? Who was she on with?
Cam Newton.
That was Cam Newton. Okay.
Cam Newton. Yeah.
I think that Cam could have made it funnier, but I think Cam was, Cam didn't want to jump into the fray. I think as much.
Yeah.
Sounds like he has some kind of relationship with Jason Whitlock.
Perhaps. Yeah. Yeah. There was another minute or so in this thing that was less interesting as it went on because Cam Newton would not engage in the blasting of Jason Whitlock.
If Cam had joined in, then it could have been really, really funny. But she had a couple of really good lines, but they just kind of sat there and it ended up being dead.
Yeah.
But good. I would give her an A+ on the pettiness.
Yeah.
Whitlock was like, all right, that's out of bounds, man. But Whitlock is Whitlock.
Multiple texts coming in, Seth, saying peanut butter is the color of her skin is what
the color, okay,
referred
see,
to. Yeah.
Which is exactly why I wanted to stay away from it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment at all on any of that, obviously.
Right, right, right.
But as far as smooth peanut butter... In general, being by far inferior to crunchy peanut butter, I will stand by that.
This is your soapbox. I'm with you on that.
Try to make that racial. I'm sure somebody out there is. But no, Chris.
Do not dare the internet to make that racial. They will. Yeah. Is there a group of people that love crunchy peanut butter more than smooth peanut butter?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Notre Dame opens the football season by playing the University of Miami. And we know that there's a long history with these two schools. That they made a documentary about it, a 30 for 30, called Catholics versus Convicts. This is a quick one here. Lou Holtz did a sit-down interview with somebody over the last couple of days, and they asked him about his issue. They talked about Catholics versus convicts, Notre Dame versus Miami back in 1988. And he had this. This is his issue with the labeling of Catholics versus convicts.
Miami was a rivalry. Catholics versus convicts. And I didn't like that. And I said, that's unfair. Because not all our team was Catholic.
Get bent, old man.
Oh, Ben! Ben, Miami Hurricane tells Lou Holtz to get bent. That's I can promise you there is a ton of pettiness in that right there. I can tell you firsthand almost that there is a ton of pettiness. That was good.
Didn't you know the guy that made the first Catholics versus convicts t-shirt?
I did, yeah, or, yeah. Not, yeah. Yeah, the guy who I did. Yeah, one of them was a basketball player. One of my roommates was the captain of the basketball team, and he was teammates with one of the guys who made the T-shirts back in the day. Those were very popular T-shirts, man. Very popular. All right, let's play this. We got a little bit of time. Let's skip down to Vrabel here, Ben. We'll close the Pettycast out with a little Mike Vrabel action. This is Vrabel. Jalen Polk is a second-year receiver for the Patriots who, it turns out, is going to miss the season. That news made it out there earlier than Mike Vrabel anticipated it making out there. Here was Vrabel getting asked in a press conference about the Jalen Polk news.
Mike, there was a report today that Jalen Polk will have to have season-ending shoulder surgery. Can you add anything to that?
No. I don't know, other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from. You know, some of these rats around here, so we'll figure that out.
I mean, someone's getting whacked. Vrabel's going to kill somebody.
It could be. He's got to be careful with this because it could just be Jalen Polk's agent.
It could be.
That did that, or a family member or something. You never know.
In his eyes, a rat.
Yeah. That's good. This is some good old school. This is some Bill Parcells tree drama here. Vrabel, we've had arguments about this, whether or not Vrabel is on the Belichick tree, which would make him on the Parcells tree. Mm-hmm. I feel like he spent enough time in that organization, even though he didn't coach for one of those guys, that he's in the tree.
Yeah.
But you know what? He worked underneath Bill O'Brien, so that puts him officially
on the Sopranos, he's like Hesh. You know, like, remember Hesh? He wasn't really a mob soldier, but he was an associate of the Sopranos.
Yeah.
Vrabel's an associate of the Belichick coaching tree.
And I think he's got a little bit of that mindset where it's still very old school of like, man, no, like zero leaks tolerated, and they'll find out. They'll go over phone records and whatnot to figure out if there's a rat in the organization. I like it.
I do too. It's gonna be fun. Okay. Text message. I had to stop watching the YouTube stream because I didn't want to get tempted by Sean's mayonnaise skin. All right. That was a low blow, man.
They're going to do a behind the sports radio episode funny. 20 years from now, and it's going to be me smoking a cigar and be like, I'll tell you what, there were many a day where I just wondered if God was testing me as Sean Pendergast sat across from me with his light mayo skin.
With those big cans and his mayo skin. His
wearing
big
those
man
athletic
cans.
Shorts. Yep. Just legs spread just far enough apart.
They are. Actually, that's how I sit. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you.
Sitting there, I never, you know, for me, my grandma never wanted me to date a Catholic, and I always wondered why.
Mayonnaise.
And sitting there across from Sean every day, I could see the temptation of the devil was upon me.
Okay, it's getting uncomfortable. Mayonnaise skin. To quote the great Ben Gary, get bent, Texter, all right?
What I wouldn't do to wrap some rosary beads around that thick neck of his.
Turn his mic off. All right.
Let me tell you a story about David Carradine.
All right, we're going to carry the pettiness over into the next segment. Adam Schefter.
Yeah, we got to get to break right quick here, Sean.
Hey, mayo face.
Get to quick ASAP.
Adam
that
Schefter.
That means as Sean as possible.
Adam Schefter is petty about the Texans and the information that he is not getting about what is the biggest news story of the day with the Houston Texans. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.